sit back, grab a cup of coffee, and explore some of today's most pressing educational issues through the experienced eyes of leading education personalities. Welcome to Coffee. It's nice to catch up with you. What I find interesting is obviously the continued growth of Q, but also in the different, you know, projects that you've got going on. I mean, we were just talking off air about all these different things. I mean, you were talking about sending out, you know, for Q members, you know, technology so that they can actually check it out and try it out before they're actually making decisions, and everything that's going on with the upcoming conferences. So I guess we just sort of start there. I mean, is there ever a bad idea at the Q headquarters?
Yeah, we have a phrase we throw around that there's no shortage of bad ideas. There's just bandwidth to implement. So you have to prioritize and you have to say, okay, I can't do 14 things badly. I've got to do maybe 5 things really well. And how do you determine what those 5 things are in a given day or week or year is the challenge. And we have a fantastic board of directors, and we leverage their vision and their guidance to help us make those decisions about what are those 5 things and which of those 5 things do we do first. And so, the idea you mentioned, the steampunk mobile labs, is grew out of an interesting opportunity. I got asked if I wanted to accept 10 Spheros that were being offered to Q for free, and if we had any ideas about how we could get those in the classrooms. And I said, yeah, I'll take those 10 Spheros. And so it just happened that I hired John Carrippo like 2 weeks after we got those Spheros. And I said, hey, John, here's a box of 10 Spheros. Can you somehow get these out to classrooms and do something with it? And it's a credit to John's creativity and brilliance that he, you know, he rolled out this steampunk mobile labs program, sign up on a Google form. He ordered and created the box to ship them in. And, you know, the only expense to Q is to build that box and then to pay the shipping to the school. And then there's no cost to the teacher. They just sign up, and we just ask that they contribute back in some way. They give us a lesson plan, or they shoot some video with the kids working with them, or they write a blog post. And to a teacher, they've all done that and more. They rave about it. And it's been exciting to watch the growth of the program. It's now much more than Spheros. I think we're sending out little mobile drones and helicopters and dash and dots. And John has really expanded the program. And every vendor we ask is falling over themselves to send us more gear.
Oh, sure.
I think we included the what was it, the little race cars, the Matchbox race cars. We do the Speedway, and we have those things that you can monitor physics, and there's all sorts of lessons that come with that program. That's one of the programs we include in there. So yeah, it's been exciting, and it's one of those nice benefits that we can offer to our members for free, and it's very much within our mission, and it helps those teachers justify the purchase of these types of devices before, you know, in front of an administrator, or to justify writing a grant for it, rather than having to spend the money first and then demonstrate the value later. We're giving them that opportunity. So yeah, it's an exciting development.
Speaking of ideas, you know, I would be interested in your position, how do you evaluate that when you're working with the board and you're having conversations about the things that you see from a leadership perspective that you would like to tackle from an idea vantage point, and then balancing that with the ideas and the requests that you get from the membership? How do you handle that? I would imagine that if you truly wanted to, you could do one or the other 100% of the time, and you'd still have so many things that you'd want to be able to tackle. How do you do that so that you can acknowledge the membership and the way in which they look to Q as a resource, as a, you know, as a beacon of a community, right, to connect with, and a leader in the space that's going to also share with them what might be important to their practice?
Well, interestingly, the answer is in that community that you reference. We have, you know, a 5-year strategic plan, and that's what the staff and board use to identify annual goals, and then we break that out into monthly and weekly goals. But when in that moment you're talking about how do you decide, I look at my staff, and I'm blessed to have a team that's amazing, passionate folks. About half of them are former educators. And if they're already tapped and they're at or above capacity, the community steps up. We have an amazing group of volunteers who, because they're so passionate about ed tech, they volunteer their time in addition to their day jobs to help us manage and run programs like this. So it doesn't work for every program. Certainly there's programs where I need a full-time staff person in charge of it, but there are programs we can do that can be led by volunteers or even maybe a consultant. A good example is the weird teacher, Doug Robertson. We tapped him to be Q's social media champion and blog editor, and he's got a full-time teaching gig. And we hired him in addition to that as a consultant to do that work on the blog and help us promote the blog and help us really, you know, communicate out to our members via social media, go where they are essentially. And so that's an example of a great idea that I just didn't have staff bandwidth to focus on. And the advantage was you get someone who's in the trenches, in the classroom. Doug's able to bring us ideas because something occurred to him in his classroom working with kids that may or may not have occurred to me, who's been out of the classroom for years, or John Grippo, or my director of marketing. So that's the wonderful gift that working within the community gives you, is you get volunteer effort, you get these folks that are able to straddle a full-time teaching job or administrative job with a little bit of side work with Q. So oftentimes the answer is the community. And then the other answer is sometimes you just can't do it all and you have to have the long view. I have ideas that I've been cooking on for about 3 or 4 years now that still haven't been implemented. And just knowing that we have a vision of, you know, a world in which all learners are inspired and using innovative tools, that world doesn't have to happen tomorrow. That world is a vision that the organization is shooting for. And it could be next year, it could be the year after. It's maybe not the best answer, and sometimes people are disappointed by that answer, but just for sanity and for not trying to accomplish too much, you have to sometimes take that as one of the answers.
What kind of a responsibility do you feel, or do you think that organizations like Q might feel with regards to, you know, sort of very strong topics or topics that pull at the heartstrings of lots of different people, especially like teacher shortage? And how do we demonstrate to the next sort of crop of young professional that education is appealing, that there are resources, that there are places to grow and to utilize groups like Q? How do you look at those sorts of things, and how have members actually reached out to you to try to support these sorts of conversations in a productive manner?
Yeah, it's a great question. And we see a lot of those issues. We've partnered with Educators Rising, which is the new name for what we used to call Future Teachers of America. And they have a California affiliate through Project Tomorrow. And they reached out to us around that specific teacher shortage problem. And it was something that we'd already been thinking about at Q, because you know, we look at the statistics and we look at our community and our members, and we see that there are a lot of them that are facing retirement in the next 5 to 10 years. And we see a lot of great, talented folks looking for other careers and not choosing the teaching profession, because it is in society often the punching bag for politicians and for policymakers to be able to point the finger at teachers or administrators or schools. And so it has slipped in terms of the attraction that, you know, when I entered the classroom, when I saw it as a profession that I was called to, you know, there certainly still was that negative opinion, but I just feel like it's intensified in the recent decades. So we wanted to do what we could to make teaching sexy again, if that's a phrase we can use. I don't know if that's appropriate or not. Maybe that's not going to be the slogan we put on the website.
That's right.
This is why I have people help.
I think it's honest, though.
That's
what I appreciate about that. We talk about that, and we use that kind of that phraseology or that phrasing with other industries. Why can't we talk? I mean, and that's what these young people are comparing it against.
All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to give you credit then. So Rod says it's okay. We can say the slogan of the program is going to be teaching sexy again. But we've talked about it. We've got a program that we're working on called Next Gen Teaching. And we're happy to partner with the Educators Rising folks on that and see what we can do to essentially lend our most engaging presenters, we call them lead learners, to events that target even high school age kids as they're thinking about their future careers, as they're looking at their prospects, as they're thinking about what classes they want to apply for, what major they'd like to be in college, and then college students, pre-service teachers, and trying to do what we can to inspire them, show them just what's happening in the classrooms, show them what's possible, show them that with these amazing devices that are in the pockets of students, or being, you know, worn by students, what you can do in the classroom. And then beyond that, we're working with folks in induction programs and teacher preparation programs to see if we can provide additional content, resources, strategies that they could bake into their teacher preparation programs so that it isn't something, you know, and again, I speak for my experience only, but I felt that I was learning from amazing master teachers, but I was learning the pedagogy that they were taught when they got their credential 20 or 30 years prior. And if our industry continues to leverage this current model, you're getting wonderful experience from veteran educators, but you have to balance that with the newest pedagogical approaches and the newest technological advances. And I feel in some ways our current program doesn't do it justice. It relies too much on the older practices without recognizing the new. And there are, of course, exceptions. And again, I rely on my experience primarily. But from what I've seen, there are a lot of programs that still look at technology as an add-on, where they look at it as, you know, well, we got to make sure they know how to use PowerPoint, and then that's it. That's where it ends. And you know, again, nothing against PowerPoint, but if that's all you're thinking of is using technology, then you're missing a whole swath. You know, just the first part of our conversation: robots, programming, computational thinking, mobile devices. I mean, all these things that we now have at our disposal as educators, we're doing a disservice to the students of the future if we don't infuse that into the teacher preparation programs instead of tacking it on as an extra elective or something worse that we say we give lip service to including but don't actually include.
Mike, let's close with this. You know, one of the things I know that CUE plays a role in is advocacy and playing a part and communicating that out to the membership and hopefully, you know, from my perspective, steering the needle, moving the needle in a positive way that's going to help to support the profession of education. We're in election season, whether we like it or not, here in 2016. What should we be paying attention to from the legislative standpoint and education? Because right now we don't hear education at all when we turn on the news and we're talking about the election. But for those of us in education, it should be a hot topic. We'd like it to be a hot topic so that we can make sure that we are supporting people along the way. Where does that land for you and where we are right now in the calendar?
Well, it hits at federal and local levels. I mean, obviously, the biggest topic right now is ESSA and the Every Student Succeeds Act. This was signed by our president in December, and myself and CUE's COO, CFO, were actually in the White House the day that President Obama signed it, and we got into the room 3 hours after he signed it. So we were there, ironically, we were there for the rollout of the National Ed Tech Plan, which was the same day, December 10th. And much to their frustration, the president signed, you know, the replacement legislation to end No Child Left Behind on the same day. So the news coverage completely ignored the rollout of the National Ed Tech Plan, which is unfortunate because it's a very forward-thinking document. It will never be printed in a dead tree format. It's only an interactive PDF and an interactive website, which is very exciting, and it's a great forward-thinking plan that got completely ignored because that happened to be the day that Obama signed the legislation. And ESSA has some great provisions for technology if we act. It essentially gives the powers to the states to implement the funding from the feds, and it gives those choices to the states. So we at CUE and all of the other ISTE affiliates and ISTE itself are working hard to lobby our individual states to put in some strong recommendations that funding should be spent on professional development, which has never been sexy, right? And infrastructure and support, not just the hard wires and the boxes, which everyone goes to first. They start taking the figure and they divide by the cost of an iPad or a Chromebook. And they think, okay, this is how many we can do. And they forget the piece that has to be there, which is supporting teachers and changing pedagogical approaches and providing the necessary IT and resource support and the systems in place to make sure it's sustainable and long-term.
Dublin agrees with you, by the way. I hear Dublin in the background. Dublin agrees with you.
Yes, he's my chief supporter. I'll see if I can get him in the frame here. Go over here, check it out. No, he just wants to go outside. So that's the federal piece, and it has local implications. So CUE issued a letter in partnership with three other organizations, and we've actually posted it on our blog at blog.cue.org. You can see what we're recommending to California in terms of how they implement ESSA and how they push for the funding. But you, as individual educators, anybody watching, can push your local school board to act on it and make sure that your priorities are set to support the use of technology and forward-thinking innovative tools in your local school district, rather than just implement those changes and that flexible funding to other areas. Certainly other areas have needs and demands, but here's Dublin.
Dublin.
But we need to make sure that we continue that push and make sure that they hear our voice and they hear what we're thinking about in terms of the use of technology. It's moved beyond replacing overhead projectors with laptops. So there's a lot we can do locally on that. So Q continues to have that voice, and I'm really thrilled with the work that we do almost daily on an advocacy standpoint. And if you're interested, you can go to q.org/advocacy to see our platform and see what our members believe in and what we really work on a day-to-day basis.
Well, that's what I think is great about what you're doing. I mean, look, there are plenty of associations out there, whether in the U.S. or abroad in education, but there are a few that are looking at it in such a comprehensive way with big ideas, and we need big ideas in education. So I think that's why people need to check it out. If they don't know about Q, they should. You can go to q.org, that's C-U-E.org. You're going to see all the different events, great people that have got integrated in, the blog that Mike talked about. But I couldn't recommend it strongly, any stronger than that. I mean, it's really, you're doing some fantastic work, and you're bringing real meaningful conversation and resources to people in a way that they can take hold in the profession and then integrate the community. And so well done, Mike, and we look forward to connecting with you in the future.
All right. Well, thanks for the opportunity, and I wish the best to you and your listeners.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Mike. Once again, I'm Dr. Rod Berger. Join us for our next cup of coffee. We continue to have conversations in education that matter to you. I'm Dr. Rod Berger, and this is Coffee.